National Health Insurance, a Democratic Party view. I'm Dan Rather, CBS News, Washington. 2 days ago, President Nixon delivered an address on comprehensive health insurance. Pursuant to CBS policy on questions over which there is significant disagreement, we now present the views of Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, a co-sponsor of one national health insurance proposal. His remarks were recorded earlier today on Capitol Hill here in Washington. Following the broadcast by Senator Kennedy, CBS News will offer a brief summary and analysis of his remarks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Senator from Massachusetts, Edward Kennedy.
Good afternoon. This is Senator Edward Kennedy. I'm speaking to you from Washington as chairman of the Subcommittee on Health of the United States Senate on the subject of national health insurance. If you can't get a doctor when you need one, if you think your medical bills have gotten out of hand, if you think your health insurance isn't adequate, especially for a really big health bill, I want to tell you what we're trying to do in Congress. Last Monday, President Nixon gave us his views on what the nation should do to solve the nation's health care crisis. Now the leadership in Congress has asked me to tell you about a better way to get good health care at a price you can afford to pay. First of all, let me say that President Nixon's address demonstrates that there are broad areas of agreement on the scope of the problem and its solution. A new spirit of compromise and progress is in the air. The President says he is now ready to work with Congress on getting national health insurance into the statute books this year, and we in Congress are prepared to join him in the effort. Congress agrees with much of what the President proposes to do to solve the health care crisis. But above all, Congress agrees with the President that there has never been a better time to do the job. The Senate and House of Representatives are already hard at work on writing the legislation. Amid so much that is negative today, inflation and unemployment, the energy crisis, the pending impeachment investigation, amid all these areas, the enactment of national health insurance stands out as one of the most positive achievements of which America is capable in 1974. Congress is serious about enacting national health insurance this year. And if the administration is also serious, if the spirit of cooperation announced by the President in his address last Monday is borne out, then I believe a far-reaching bill can be sent to the President for his signature before Congress adjourns this fall. As the President indicated, the administration has introduced its own version of health insurance legislation. His bill is one of the major proposals now pending in Congress. But there is also another bill, a bill that Chairman Wilbur Mills of the Ways and Means Committee in the House and I have joined in introducing, a bill which we believe is better than the President's bill in several important ways. In the first place, the benefits covered by the bill I favor are significantly more extensive than those proposed by the President. Both bills cover many things: health care in the hospital, visits to the doctor's office, children's dental and eye care, in fact, almost all of the health services that you and your family will ever need. But our proposal is broader in two basic respects. First, it goes beyond the President's bill by lowering the amount you will have to pay out of your own pocket to enjoy the benefits of the program. Second, our proposal starts earlier than the administration's bill by providing coverage from the very first doctor's visit for pregnant women and their babies and for eye, ear, and dental care for the children. That's an important difference. The health of our children deserves that high priority. Healthy children today mean healthy adults tomorrow and a healthy nation in the future. We want to give all of America's children the best possible start towards a healthy life and future in this country. We cannot afford a health care system that encourages parents to save their dollars by neglecting their children's health. In addition, the Kennedy-Mills bill offers new guarantees to families facing medical disaster or catastrophic illness. Our program puts a fixed upper limit on how much you will ever have to pay out of your own pocket. No matter how high your family health bill runs when a serious illness strikes. As a result, no one ever again will be bankrupt by the cost of medical care. Every expense over and above your ceiling would be completely paid for by the program. The next major advantage of our bill is that it would be run by the Social Security system and paid for through the Social Security system. Instead of paying premiums to health insurance companies, as you do today, you'll be paying into Social Security, and the benefits will be much greater, and the costs will be much less because of the billions of dollars that we can save. Under Social Security, every family with income would pay into the program, but it would pay only its fair share, 1% of income. A family with an income of $20,000 would pay $200. A family with an income of $10,000 would pay $100. And a family with $5,000, only $50. By contrast, under the President's program, 70% of the families in the country would be paying more. Under Social Security, your contribution will depend only on how much you make, not how healthy you are or who you work for, or anything else. We believe this is a better way to pay for the health care than the proposal by the administration, where everyone would pay the same flat premium for his private health insurance income. That's a major defect of the President's program. It's a windfall for the wealthy and a burden for those at the bottom of the income ladder. Why should low- and middle-income groups be required to subsidize the health insurance premiums of the wealthy? Almost every other federal social program is financed on a progressive basis, keyed to a person's income level and his ability to pay, and health care should be no different. Another good reason for using the Social Security system is that your health insurance goes with you always. You're covered from job to job. You're covered between jobs. You're covered in retirement. You earn the coverage while you work, and it's always there protecting you. There are no waiting periods, no exclusions or exemptions, no gaps in coverage, no sudden loss of coverage when you can least afford it. None of the other defects that are so familiar in private insurance policies today and that make the present system such a nightmare for the people. Another important reason for using Social Security system is that we're already using Social Security for Medicare. And if you don't think Medicare is loved and widely accepted by our 20 million senior citizens, ask your parents or your grandparents. For them, Medicare has removed the cost of serious illness as a fear of their old age. Medicare and Social Security are two of the greatest social programs America ever had. Now they can become the cornerstone on which we can build our new program of national health insurance. The President wants to turn back the clock on Medicare. He wants to turn his insurance program over to the private insurance industry. In the coming debate, we'll hear a great deal from the administration about the virtues of that industry, but they simply cannot do the job. In perhaps no other sector of the economy today is there such cutthroat competition over such shabby products as in the health insurance packages being given the hard sell in every section of the country today. Shake your Sunday newspaper, and the chances are that an application form for a health insurance policy will drop into your lap. Fortunes are being made by companies today that seldom have to pay a claim because of the fine print in their policies. And the reason is not far to seek. The system breeds that sort of operation. There are now 1,200 separate and competing health insurance companies in the nation, and their practices are a major part of our health care crisis. The Kennedy-Mills bill meets the problem by using private health insurance organizations in an improved and constructive way. Instead of contributing to the problem, as they do today, they will become an important part of its solution. Every time you file a health claim, you're a threat to an insurance company's profits. How can they provide decent service when they have one eye on their corporate balance sheet and the other on the people's need for health? That's the system we have today, and it simply isn't working the way it should. But Social Security is different. It works for the people. It cares about their needs. It's not in business to make it a profit out of sickness in your family. It's there to pay the bill in time of need, to guarantee that when illness strikes, the cost is not a burden. It's hardly a novel principle for the government to pay the bill for social services vital to the people. It's been more than 100 years since government in America decided that the education of the young was too important to be left to private enterprise. Today, our great system of public schools is a monument to the foresight of our ancestors. The same is true for other areas. For 40 years, government has been paying Social Security to the elderly. And for the past 10 years, through Medicare, it's been paying their bills for health. I say it's time we applied that basic principle to every section of the population. As everyone now recognizes, the cost of the program is no longer an issue between Congress and the administration. After more than 3 years of useless controversy over cost, the administration has finally admitted that the cost of their program is the same as the one that Wilbur Mills and I both favor. The costs are essentially identical. The only question is whether you want to pay that cost through premiums to insurance companies or through payments to Social Security. True, the payments into Social Security will be in the form of a small addition to the payroll tax you pay today. But the payments under the President's proposal are also a tax. The insurance premiums you would have to pay are nothing but a disguised and hidden tax. But because the President's tax is disguised and hidden, people are misled about the real nature of his program. It is time to end the confusion and obfuscation. Let us call a tax, and get on with the debate over the really important aspects of the program. In closing, let me emphasize that the Kennedy-Mills bill contains far-reaching guarantees for all doctors and their patients. From the very start of the debate, several years ago, I have insisted that any health insurance program must contain four basic freedoms. Freedom for every physician to choose where and how he will give health care. Freedom for every patient to choose where and how he will receive health care. Freedom from government ownership of the facilities of the health care system. Freedom from government interference in community policy on health. These four freedoms are the bedrock of a sound and progressive health care system, and they are totally respected in our proposal for national health insurance. President Nixon agrees with these four freedoms of health. Wilbur Mills and I agree. The Senate and House of Representatives agree. Together we can build a program that protects these freedoms and that will function in the highest interest of all the people of America, physicians and patients alike. We have a magnificent new opportunity today. The initiative of the President has given new momentum to the effort underway in Congress to build the program needed by the American people. I'm pleased that so many are responding so well to the challenge. Let all who care about the quality of health care in America come forward. There is time, this year, to enact national health insurance capable of fulfilling the promise of this rich land to bring decent care to all of its people.
You have been listening to an address by Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts in a reply to President Nixon's address last Monday on comprehensive health insurance on the CBS radio network. This is Dan Rather, CBS News White House correspondent in Washington. With me is my Washington colleague, Daniel Shore. What follows now is brief summary and analysis. For those of you who may have tuned in just a bit late and or may have missed President Nixon's address on Monday, one of the basic differences, and it was one of the differences that Senator Kennedy dwelt upon today, between the Kennedy-Mills proposal for comprehensive health insurance and the proposal made by President Nixon, is whether or not the program should be linked in to the Social Security apparatus already in place in the federal government, or whether it should be linked more closely to private health insurance companies. Dan Shore, one of the experts on this whole subject of comprehensive health insurance and the national debate over it, your remarks, your analysis of Senator Kennedy's address.
Dan, once before a deadlock was broken and a health program came into being because of a pragmatic compromise between Senator Kennedy and the Nixon administration, that was the so-called war on cancer. Now, on the broader issue of health insurance, the senator has accepted the olive branch tendered to him by the president, talking today of the broad area of agreement and the new spirit of compromise, and that may bring national health insurance within sight, perhaps, although it seems optimistic, by next fall. But the clash of principle and philosophy between the Nixon approach and the Kennedy-Mills approach shouldn't be underrated. Mr. Nixon said on Monday that he will not compromise on the principle of building on the present system, which means the private insurance system, and not replacing it by what he calls a costly, federally dominated structure. The Mills-Kennedy plan would be administered by the Social Security system, which means a federal structure. And it would phase out private insurance, except as an intermediary and except for insuring additional payments that would come out of the beneficiaries' pockets. If there is a compromise to be found there, it isn't a very easy one and is not readily visible. There's another important difference, though. The president does not rule out compromise in that area. His plan is voluntary, and the Kennedy-Mills plan is compulsory on the assumption that the plan wouldn't work unless the burdens are spread evenly throughout the whole population. Now, in his rhetoric on Monday, Mr. Nixon opposed the compulsory approach, but interestingly, he doesn't include this among his unnegotiable principles. One other thing must be said in fairness. Senator Kennedy's broadcast is billed as the reply to the president's broadcast on Monday. But in effect, Mr. Kennedy replies only for the Mills-Kennedy bill. There is no defense of other leading measures in Congress, including the labor-supported Kennedy-Griffiths bill, the one that Senator Kennedy has now deserted and is now called the Griffiths-Corman bill. That's the one for cradle-to-grave insurance for all Americans without any patient payments. Nor does he defend the Long-Ribicoff catastrophic health insurance bill. Neither of those seems to figure today in the reply. Still, in realistic terms, if Kennedy Mills and the administration can find a way of bridging the gulf that separates them on financing and administration, this indeed may be then the program of the future and perhaps the relatively near future.
One footnote, we at CBS News did have access to a copy of Senator Kennedy's address in recorded form earlier this morning. Dan, one question, what is the outlook for the man or woman who is at home or driving along in an automobile and saying, well, what are the real chances of any comprehensive health insurance program being passed this year? What, in your best estimate, is the answer?
Well, Dan, I remember 3 years ago President Nixon said that that was going to be the year of health. It turned out not to be. I remember in 1972 that people thought that health insurance would be a prime campaign issue. It turned out not to be. The need is great. The burdens on the people are great. But perceiving it as a political issue ripe for action is another thing. Now, once again, they are saying that this is going to be the year, Senator Kennedy says, perhaps by this fall. Maybe.
Dan Shore, we know that in the beginning, this response was to be Senator Kennedy speaking alone. Then we were informed that Senator Kennedy would be speaking along with Congressman Mills. As it turned out this morning, it was Senator Kennedy speaking alone. Why?
I have no idea. Congressman Mills may have been busy elsewhere. I don't know. I suppose he thought that Senator Kennedy could have, once the congressman had read what the senator was going to say, could represent the both of them.
There's no indication that Congressman Mills is backing away in his support of this bill. No indication of that whatsoever.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. This is more his bill than it is Senator Kennedy's.
This has been a CBS News special report. National Health Insurance, a Democratic Party view. With my colleague Daniel Shore, Dan Rather, CBS News in Washington.
I'm Russ Powell. This is KNX Los Angeles. The time now is 9:26. We have this traffic advisory. The number one and two lanes of the southbound San Diego freeway have been closed between Nordoff Street and Burbank Boulevard because of construction. That condition expected to exist until about 3 this afternoon. That's the number one and two lanes of the southbound San Diego freeway closed between Nordoff Street and Burbank Boulevard because of construction.